High Society is one of the 40 films featured in Jazz and Film, a Turner Classic Movie series running Mondays and Thursdays this month. Jazz and Film is hosted by TCM's Eddie Muller. The first guest to join Muller on Jazz and Film was dancer and choreographer Mercedes Ellington. The granddaughter of Duke Ellington, she was an ideal commentator for the presentation of Anatomy of a Murder, the Otto Preminger film starring Jimmy Stewart and featuring an iconic Ellington soundtrack. She spoke with WBGO's Nate Chenin about why she got involved with Jazz and Film.
I've been kind of forced into being sort of a family historian, which has also forced me into finding the history of the surroundings of the political as well as the entertainment, the arts surroundings of the times. And I, my profession as a producer, performer, choreographer, director, I've had to do a lot of research in those areas for different projects that I've done. And so I really place a lot of value in research for any project. So it goes back to going back to these times and these movies and the music that's connected with it, because even especially now in these times, I believe that the only thing, one of the most important things that's going to get us out of this turmoil and this feeling of anger is music. And so the music in the background, for it carries the plot. It identifies itself with the characters. The characters are almost like instruments in an orchestra, and which is what my grandfather always said, that people asked him what was his instrument, and he said the orchestra was his instrument.
Mercedes Ellington. Nate Chenin also had the opportunity to chat with Eddie Muller himself about the Turner Classic Movie Series. Muller is a writer based in San Francisco and is known for his books about movies.
What can you say about the way that jazz, you know, sticking to film noir for just a moment, what can you say about the way that jazz functions in these movies? What does it do for the films and within the films?
Well, in film noir in particular, jazz was always used to denote the underworld. I mean, that was mm-hmm. when the characters were delving into the demimonde, so to speak, and it always had a dangerous aspect to it, because literally you were going into the underworld, where it was like subterranean jazz clubs and all this. And you know, I don't know if that's a fair depiction, but it, you know, it does correspond to the way society in general treated jazz for a long, long time. So I guess it kind of made sense that storytellers would use it that way, especially when it was jazz played by African Americans. You know, if you're, you know, we're showing a lot of stuff in this series, you know, like Big Band Night with Glenn Miller and Benny Goodman and all that, and it does not have the same connotation at all. So, you know, that's a very pertinent sociological aspect of all of this.
And it's interesting to, you know, to extend that, there are a lot of movies from that period in which a white protagonist has a jazz dalliance that is equated with some kind of corruption or tragic end. And I'm thinking, of course, of The Man with the Golden Arm, even to some extent, Young Man with a Horn.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how stubbornly that trope has persisted.
yes. The Gene Krupa story, that's another right. one where I just watched that again recently, and it, you know, it's hysterical. The moment where I forget what they called her in the movie, but the singer who was, you know, with the band, you know, turns him on to his first reefer, and right. this moment is like dun dun dun. There you go. You know, it's all downhill yeah. for Gene after that. Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean. But I will say this. You know, not to argue that what you're saying isn't 100% accurate, but I'm also watching a bunch of these movies again. I'm also kind of impressed by how, in many cases, it's the white characters going to the black jazz club that is the epiphany that sort of opens their eyes, or opens their ears, really, and their eyes, of course, because you know, there's a great scene in the Glenn Miller story where Jimmy Stewart takes his newlywed Helen, you know, uptown to Harlem, and they see, you know, who else but Louis Armstrong playing, because Louis Armstrong is in all of these movies, right? And truthfully, Hollywood treated Louis Armstrong like he was a deity almost, because it's always, you know, when you see Louis Armstrong, that's when the scales come off your eyes and your ears open up, and it's like, oh, this is a part of American music that, who knew? You know, and right. in some ways, the writers and of these films are basically saying, you know, wake up. You know, there's this whole other thing that we've kept tamped down for so long, and it's just not going to be denied. And clearly, right. in the movies, that was Louis Armstrong. You know, more than it was Duke Ellington or Count Basie, or, you know, it was Louis Armstrong that represented that.
Yeah, he's a fabulous screen presence, as you know, just as he was on stage. Look forward to watching you on the screen.
Okay, and feel free to stay in touch.
You can find out more about Jazz and Film on our website at WBGO.org, and WBGO has started its own series called Jazz at the Movies, hosted by Brian Delp during Midday Jazz. Thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to WBGO 88.3 FM.